Good morning. Welcome to Worship here at St. Mark's. I'm so glad you joined us this day, that you felt it was worth it to get out of the nice warm bed. I admit, some mornings when it's really chilly, I just, the snooze button hits a little too quickly sometimes. But yeah, thank you for joining us this wonderful day. Today we are beginning the new liturgical church year, and so Advent begins. I know it looks like Christmas, but really we're in the season of Advent, a season of anticipating the coming of Christ, and so we'll be hearing a little bit more about that later. But at this time, I'd like to invite you to stand as we begin our service, as we always do, remembering who we belong to. We belong to the King. We begin in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
All right, let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you so much for this beautiful day. This time that we get to gather in your presence and hear your word, Lord, to let the Spirit move through that word to strengthen and bond us, Lord, even closer to you, Lord, and to the people around us. I pray that you would move powerfully today. Help us, Lord, grow our faith. Let us see you more clearly so that we can worship you as the God you are. In all this we pray. Amen. Let's confess our sins. Almighty God, our Maker and Redeemer, we poor sinners confess to you that we are by nature sinful and unclean, that we have sinned against you by thought, word, and deed. Because of this, we run for refuge to your infinite mercy, seeking your grace. For the sake of our Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. O most merciful God, who has given your only begotten Son to die for us, have mercy upon us, and for his sake forgive all our sins, and by your Holy Spirit increase in us true knowledge of thee and of your will and true obedience to your word, to the end that by your grace we may come to everlasting life, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his Son to die for you, and for his sake forgives you all of your sin. As a called and ordained servant of Christ, and by his authority, I forgive you all of your sin in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let's sing.
You are a waymaker, miracle worker, prophet. even when I don't see it, you're working. Even when I don't feel it, you're working. You never stop, you never stop working. You never stop, you never stop working.
Do let friends Good morning. My name is Josh Landgraf. I'm one of your elders here at St. Mark's. And the first reading is from Isaiah 2, verses 1 through 5. This is what Isaiah, son of Amos, saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem. In the last days, the mountain of the Lord's temple will be established as the highest of the mountains. It will be exalted above the hills, and all nations will stream to it. Many peoples will come and say, "Come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the temple of the God of Jacob. He will teach us his ways, so that we may walk in his paths." The law will go out from Zion, the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. He will judge between the nations and will settle disputes for many peoples. They will beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation will not take up sword against nation, nor will they train for war anymore. Come, descendants of Jacob, let us walk in the light of the Lord. This is the word of the Lord.
Sermon text for today is Matthew 21, verses 1 through 11. As they approached Jerusalem and came to Bethphage on the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, "Go to the village ahead of you, and at once you will find a donkey tied there, with her colt by her. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone says anything to you, say that the Lord needs them, and he will send them right away." This took place to fulfill what was spoken through the prophet, "Say to the daughter of Zion, see, your king comes to you, gentle and riding on a donkey and on a colt, the foal of a donkey." The disciples went and did as Jesus had instructed them. They brought the donkey and the colt and placed their cloaks on them for Jesus to sit on. A very large crowd spread their cloaks on the road, while others cut branches from trees and spread them on the road. The crowds that went ahead of him and those that followed shouted, "Hosanna to the Son of David! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord! Hosanna in the highest heaven!" When Jesus entered Jerusalem, the whole city was stirred and asked, "Who is this?" The crowds answered, "This is Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth in Galilee." This is God's word for us today. It is now time for the children's message. So kiddos, if you want to come forward at this time, Hope Rusnick has the message for us today.
Good morning, everybody. Okay, we're going to try that again. Grown-ups, you can join us too. All right, ready? Good morning, everybody. Okay, everyone's awake now. Good. All right. Have you guys noticed all of the decorations in our church and like everywhere else you've been? What are the decorations for?
Christmas.
Oh, Christmas. Who here likes Christmas? Okay, a few people. All right. All right, what are some of your favorite things about Christmas? You guys go sit over there.
My kiddos. Jesus, birth, candy canes, Christmas tree, and all the fun.
Okay, like basically everything is your favorite. Yeah, Georgia. Jesus' birth, yeah, Phoenix.
Decorating the tree with ornaments,
yeah, that's always so fun. Presents. Oh, making peanut butter birthday, peanut butter cookies with mom and having your birthday soon. Spending time with your parents. Yeah. So there are so many things to love about Christmas, and it makes it a little hard to wait. My favorite part about this coming Christmas is my parents are coming to visit my family, which is pretty cool because they live kind of far away. Who else gets to spend time with family who lives far away on Christmas? It's so fun, right? And like, we can talk to my parents on the phone, but it's not the same, right? It's just not the same. Okay, so my parents are coming, and I am so excited. I can't wait. Who else feels like they can't wait to spend time with their family on Christmas? Okay, we know that feeling, right? When you're so excited, you just can't wait. But we have to wait, right? Like, I can't make it Christmas tomorrow. You can't make it Christmas tomorrow. So we have to wait. Yeah, Catherine. I know, it's so exciting. So is waiting easy or is waiting hard? Waiting is hard, especially when you're so excited and you get to see people that you love and who love you. Do you guys want to know a secret? Okay, so you know your family loves you. Like so much, right? Did you know that Jesus loves you even more than your family does? What? I know, it's so crazy. Jesus loves us even more than everyone in our family can love us. And do we love Jesus? Yeah. So we want to spend time with Jesus all the time, and we get to in prayer and being in God's word and celebrating on Sundays with our church family. But it's not the same as getting to be with Jesus when we get to be with him forever and ever in heaven and get to do all the cool things with Jesus. And it's hard to wait, but that's what Advent is about. It's about reminding us that Jesus is keeping his promise and he's going to come back and we get to spend time with him forever and it's going to be amazing. And it's hard to wait, but that's what we're doing. We're waiting and we're excited while we wait. Okay, let's go ahead and pray. Can you pray with me? Dear God, thank you for all the fun and exciting things we get to do at the holidays with our family. Please help us to remember the most exciting thing is you are going to keep your promise and come back. Help us to wait with patience for your promise. Amen.
Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. What did you think would happen? As a parent, I found I have said that out loud more than I expected. And admittedly, significantly more in my head than out loud. And one of the more recent times where it has happened with any of the children that I have, as I imagine this is not an uncommon experience, where I hear from a distance, "Dad," and I pause to find out, okay, how serious is this? "Dad!" Oh, okay. Keep going, go on. "Dad!" Oh, okay, I'm coming. All right. And I get down there where they're at, and one of the kids has built something, constructed something, done something, played with something, and of course, one of their siblings, it definitely changes up each time, has destroyed it, or is threatening to destroy it, has destroyed just a tiny bit of it. And it's all going to get ruined if there's not a significant intervention. And so I get there, and I think to myself for sure, what are they hoping me to do? And sometimes I say out loud, what are you thinking is going to happen? And of course, always the answer is something to the effect of remove the individual who is causing terror and problems. Or at the very least, tell them to stop it. And I was reflecting upon this as I thought about the season of Advent. Advent, again, is the season in the church year that precedes Christmas, and Christmas being all about the coming of Christ. And so in Advent, we anticipate the coming of Christ, both remembering the first time that he came and also anticipating his second coming. It's a time of expectation. And so in that vein, then you might be wondering, well, why are we getting a reading from Lent? And Palm Sunday and Jesus coming into Jerusalem, what does that have to do with anything? And of course, as we are anticipating Christ's second coming, anticipating and reflecting on his first coming, why did Jesus come in the first place? And so we see from Matthew's gospel, when they drew near to Jerusalem and came to Bethphage, to the Mount of Olives, then Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, "Go into the village in front of you, and immediately you will find a donkey tied and a colt with her. Untie them and bring them to me. And if anyone says anything to you, you shall say, the Lord needs them, and he will send them at once. This took place to fulfill what was spoken by the prophet, saying, say to the daughter of Zion, behold, your king is coming to you, humble, mounted on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a beast of burden. Now, I want to note that as I read the Gospels, there seems to me a bit of a disconnect between what the Jews of that day were hoping when the Messiah would come would take place and what actually played out. And even though this prophecy here kind of gives clues to what really would be taking place when the Messiah came, still, the perception was very much one of, well, we are being occupied by Rome. And Rome tells us what we can and can't do, and they put limits upon us. And, oh, how glorious it was in the days of David when we were free to worship God as we wanted to and as we ought to. So we believe the line of David, the Messiah would come and he would kick out these oppressors. This is surely what is going to take place. So they cried out, come, remove this problem that is in our midst. And yet you get a glimpse here. The king comes humble, mounted on a donkey. And the disciples went and did as Jesus had directed them. They brought the donkey and the colt and put on them their cloaks, and he sat on them. Most of the crowd spread their cloaks on the road. Others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road. And the crowds went out before him, and they followed him. They were shouting, Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Now, where does this come from? Psalm 118 has Hosanna. Save us, please. Save us, we pray, O Lord. What is Psalm 118 all about? Well, it begins, of course, with giving thanks. So give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his steadfast love endures forever. And it continues, out of my distress I called on the Lord, and the Lord answered me and set me free. The Lord is on my side, and I will not fear. What can man do to me? The Lord is on my side as my helper. I shall look in triumph on those who hate me. It is better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in man. It is better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in princes. All the nations surround me. In the name of the Lord, I cut them off. They surround me. Surround me on every side. In the name of the Lord, I cut them off. They surround me like bees. They went out like fire among thorns. In the name of the Lord, I cut them off. I was pushed hard so that I was falling, but the Lord helped me. The Lord is my strength and my song, and he has become my salvation. Glad songs of salvation are in the tents of the righteous. The right hand of the Lord does valiantly. The right hand of the Lord exalts. The right hand of the Lord does valiantly. I shall not die, but I shall live and recount the deeds of the Lord. Open to me the gates of righteousness that I may enter through them and give thanks to the Lord. Does that sound like Palm Sunday at all? This is the gate of the Lord. The righteous shall enter through it. I thank you that you have answered me and have become my salvation. The stone the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. This is the Lord's doing, and it is marvelous in our eyes. How intriguing that just a couple days later, Jesus himself will quote this very psalm concerning himself of how the people would reject him. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. And again, Hosanna, save us, we pray, O Lord. O Lord, we pray, give us success. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. And so as I read that psalm and what I think perhaps was on the minds and the hearts of the people as they're crying out to the Son of David, Hosanna in the highest, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. is that they did not need to fear the nation that was swarming around them like bees, that had taken over everything that they were trying to do. Here finally is our salvation. Here is our deliverance. He is coming. Sure, he's on a donkey, but that's fine. I think the Bible said something about that. We would have liked a war horse. What I'm getting at is you have a bit of a disconnect between what the people are expecting, what the coming of the Messiah means, and what God was at work doing. Because what the people were experiencing, what they were hoping for, was small. Addressing an issue of another nation who limited your ability to worship your God as you felt was right is small compared to the issue of sin. And yet Jesus had his sights on something far greater than just kicking out the Romans. But he said, it is not good that my people are enslaved to sin. It is not good that they are not able to follow me as they should, but instead are only able to see their own limited selfish desires. To see everything that seems as good that they do on behalf of God, not as truly being for God, but rather for their own well-being and elevation. This is a problem. And because the problem is sin, something had to be done. And in the course of time, God sent his Son. God took on flesh and dwelt among man. And the coming of Messiah happened. And yet you see the juxtaposition of what God is at work doing and what the people expected as Jesus processed in to Jerusalem. Jesus, who looked at Jerusalem and said, "Jerusalem, Jerusalem, oh, how you stoned the prophets and killed all those that God sent to you. How I long to gather you like a hen gathers her chicks, but you were not willing." For the heart of Jesus, even then, is for the very people who he knew would kill him. Because he loved them. And his love for them wasn't limited to them, but rather his love was for all who were made in the image of God. So the picture in God's mind of what he was at work doing was not simply that one elevated people might stand above all the rest, but rather that all people might come to know the goodness of God and to follow him. Hear again from the prophet Isaiah, a prophet that begins and goes through the time of exile before God has taken the Jews, the people of the land of Judah, away to be exiled in Babylon. There was proclamations of woe. Woe to you! Turn back! Turn from your evil ways, your selfish deeds, and turn back instead to God. But the people didn't listen. And yet the book of Isaiah also gives such amazing exaltations from God of the joy that is to come. And goes back and forth from woe, look out, and wow, amazing. The word that Isaiah the son of Amos saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem: it shall come to pass in the latter days that the mountain of the house of the Lord shall be established as the highest of mountains. It shall be lifted up above the hills, and all the nations shall flow to it. And many peoples shall come and say, "Come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob, that he may teach us his ways, that we may walk in his paths. For out of Zion shall go forth the law, the instruction, the Torah, the teachings of God. They shall go forth from Zion, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. He shall judge between the nations and shall decide disputes for many peoples. They shall beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore. And I love the imagery of taking implements of war and transforming them into implements of cultivation. Because there is no need for learning war anymore. For in the end it shall be established that there is one God, and all shall turn to him and say, "Let us learn from this God." And peoples from all over will exclaim this. As I was reflecting upon my sermon for today, I was meditating upon my sense, at least, of the culture at large. How many messages do you hear on a regular basis about divisions in and among the peoples? Divisions by race, divisions by gender, divisions by ideology, divisions politically, divisions fiscally. Divisions between our country and other countries. And the temptation as we are striving to do something good within this world and we see others who are hindering that good is to cry out, "God, they're the problem. Take them away." And it can be easy to think that what God is at work doing is so small. That our perspective on this being good and right and this being bad and evil and must be driven away, that the only solution is just one way, our way, removal. And we miss the beauty of what God has come to do because he has come to address sin. He's come to address our sin. And he's come to address the sins of others. And the picture at the end is not one where we, all alone now, are there with our God, but rather that all nations would come to him. And that they might take their tanks and their bombs and their bombs and their guns and shift them not to implements of war, but implements of cultivation. Because a people will no longer learn war because there will be no need. This is the picture that our God puts forth for our eyes. This is the thing to hope for and to strive for. So when we pray this Advent, "Come quickly, Lord Jesus," we pray, "God, show us as well the reality of how you are shaping and transforming us. Help us to see that picture that is not isolated in our selfishness and our desires and our saying, this is what is right and we know it, but rather help us to see with your eyes. Help us to follow you this day. Amen."
Early in the
Please stand as we confess our faith. Today we're going to be using a different creed. There's actually three Christian creeds that we ascribe to. There's the Apostles' Creed, which is the one we do all the time. There's Athanasian Creed, which we don't do very often because it is extremely long and repetitive. And this one is the Nicene Creed. Now, the Nicene Creed was written out of reaction to some bad teachings about the person of Jesus in the Godhead. People were thinking that he was like somehow less than the Father, not quite as amazing as the Father and all that. And so as we confess this, look at all the ways. They say it a lot of different ways that Jesus and the Father are the same in substance, the same in glory, the same. All right, so let us confess. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten from the Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, and for us men and for our salvation, came down from heaven and was incarnated by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary and was made man and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried. The third day he rose again according to the scriptures and ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of the Father. And he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshiped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. Please be seated. At this time, we are going to go into the prayer and care type part of our service. And so those who have been asked to be prayers today, please come forward at this time, the rest of you. Come forward if you would like, come forward if you have something on your heart, if you're struggling, if you're joyful, if whatever is happening in your life, if it is strong right now, and if you wish to have prayer, come forward. If anybody would like to have prayer in the back, Kevin Shagg, one of our elders, is available for you in the prayer chapel.
Curtain, take off your disguise. Whoever told you ain't worth the fight? The cross tells a story that'll change your mind. There's only love in the heart of God. No room for shame in his open. Beauty from ashes, so come as you are. There's only love in the heart of God. Shame in you.
shaking his head, writing you off, leaving you lost. He's not sitting there shaking his head, wishing he never went to that cross. He's not sitting there shaking his head, writing you off, leaving you lost. He's not sitting there shaking his head. He went to that cross, he went to that cross. As morning dawns and evening fades, you inspire songs of praise that rise from earth to touch your heart and glorify your name. Your name is a strong and mighty tower. Your name is a shelter like no other. Your name, let the nations sing it louder, 'cause nothing has the power to save but your power to save.
as we move into the time of prayer, for the prayer of the day, there's a few things we want to be, a few people we want to be praying for. First of all, Stan Schwing is going to be celebrating his 92nd birthday Saturday. And he has the dubious distinction of being the oldest member in our congregation right now. So there you go. So we want to be praying for him. And if you can think of it, send him a card. It's an amazing thing. Now this kid is kind of near to my heart. Alex Holloway. He used to be my next door neighbor when he was a little one. And I watched him grow up, and then his parents moved away. And now his dad is now a member of our church, and it's so cool. He is having his first child either today or tomorrow. And so we want to be praying for him. He's now a pastor. So, I mean, it's cool story, awesome people. But he and his wife are having their first child. And so we want to keep them in prayer, too. Just ask God's blessings on that child and his mom. And Alex, too, I guess, it's probably just as big a day for him, even if he's not doing the work. All right. Very good. Let's pray. Please stand. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you so much for this day that you have given us, Lord, for all the beauty of your creation, Lord, the way that you covered the earth with snow, and now it's gone. It's amazing. Lord, I pray that you would continue to be with your people, Lord, as we work to serve you in this place. Lord, I pray that you would give us wisdom, give us tenacity, Lord. Help us all to pitch in so that your people can be served and your work can be done. Lord, I thank you so much for all the people of our congregation. Lord, today we thank you especially for Stan. Lord, I thank you for the life you've given him, Lord, the people you surrounded him with, the blessing that he has been to many, Lord. And I just pray, Lord, that you would continue to guard and keep him, Lord, close to you. And Lord, I pray for Alec and Jess and little baby Luca, Lord. Lord, I pray that you would be with mother and child and the father too, Lord. Help them, give them strength, give them health, protect that baby and his mom, Lord. And Lord, I pray that you would continue to be with all the ministries of your church. So many people on so many levels doing so many things. And Lord, we have a denomination, Lord. We also have a district. And Lord, the people that work at that district level work very hard supporting the churches and the church workers. Lord, I pray that you would be with them. Support them and their families. Help them, Lord, to be wise and effective at their ministries. And Lord, I pray that you would continue to grow them, Lord, closer to you as they help us to grow closer to you. All these things we pray in your name, and we pray the prayer that you taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night which he was betrayed, he took bread. And when he had given thanks, he gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink. Do this often in remembrance of me." In the same way, after supper, he took the cup. And when he had given thanks, he gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take, drink. This cup is a new covenant in my blood shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink of it in remembrance of me."
Tells the sun to rise every morning, covers the sky with the shades of his glory, wakes us with mercy and love, Jesus does. Who holds the orphan, comforts the widow,
cries for injustice, feels every sorrow, carries the pain of his children, Jesus does. So we sing praise to the Father who gave us the Son, praise to the Spirit who's living in us. When I was a sinner, washes us clean with his blood, Jesus does. Who sings a song of sweet forgiveness? Who holds the keys to hell and the grave? Who has the power to save?
is more stronger riches of kindness he lavished on us. His blood was the payment, his life was the cost. We stood neath a debt we could never afford. Our sins, they are many, his mercy is more. Praise the Lord, his mercy is more. Stronger than darkness, new every morn. Our sins, they are many. Mercy is more, stronger than darkness, new every morn. For sins they are many, his mercy is more. For sins they are many, his mercy is
having received the very body and blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and through it the forgiveness of sins, life, and salvation that he promises in this gift, depart in his peace. Amen. And receive our Lord's blessing. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of his Holy Spirit be with you always. Amen. Please stand as we sing the final song together. All right, first, a few announcements. Let's see here. First thing is, Dine to Donate is tomorrow at Camilla's, so come join us. Money goes toward the Guatemala mission. Let's see here. Next Sunday is the last day for the Angel Tree gifts. So if you guys have taken gifts off of that tree out there, or if you haven't yet, get one. Bring it back next week. We have a lot of families we want to take care of over this Christmas season. And then no Sunday school or Bible class today because of all the travel and stuff that we've been doing. Let's see here. During the Christmas season, yeah. Oh, Dad is a Bible study? Oh, we have an adult Bible study today. So sorry. I'm okay, but no Sunday school. All right, what else are we doing? Let's see here now. Oh, during the Advent season, I'm sorry, we are going to be having the 11 o'clock service on the Wednesdays that we are having services. So check the schedule so that you know. Because we're also going to have some Wednesdays that are children's program and such. Let's see here. Early bedtimes, 5:30. We do early bedtimes. So that's for the children. They can come and they have an Advent service just for them. And then 6 o'clock potluck, just show up, come. There's always enough food. So just come and be part of that. And then 7 o'clock service in the evening. Anything else? Speak now or forever hold your peace. All right. My friends, God's blessings on this Sunday morning as we enter the Advent season, as we anticipate the coming of the one who's going to rescue us all. Amen.